morning, everyone. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We're delighted to have you. And we trust and pray that as we study the Word of the Lord together, that good will be accomplished, that you'll be able to understand what the Bible has to say when we get finished concerning the subject that we are anticipating. And surely we don't want to be like the mother who had three or four children, then she saw them in the backyard, they were playing with baby skunks. She wondered what in the world she should do about that. So she came out the door, and she hollered, "Run, children, run!" And every one of them grabbed a baby skunk and ran. They didn't understand. And I want you to understand what we're preaching and teaching today. In the last days, this know also, that in the last days, what are we talking about? What are the last days of which Paul speaks? He said, dangerous or perilous times shall come for men shall be. Look at it. Lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasures. More than lovers of God. In the New King James Version, they had lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures, and lovers of God. In the New NI Version, you have lovers of themselves, lovers of money, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of God. This expression, in the last days, this expression has to do with God's final deliverance of His will for man. In Isaiah 2, verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. But then notice, in Micah chapter 4, verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain, the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. In Acts 2, verse 17, we have begun to understand. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Surely, it's talking about in this final revelation of God's will to man. In Hebrews 1, verse 2, God, who at sundry time in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, we're talking about the last days in which the final revelation of God is given to man. And therefore, we find that James tells us, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped up treasures together for the last days for no benefit at all. Peter tells us that scoffers will come. There'll be people that'll be mocking the idea that it's going to be the final days. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Notice it, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and they're saying, where is the promise of His coming? That's the question. In these last days, there are going to be people who will be making that question, where is His coming? He's talked about it, prophesied about it. He said that it would come, but where is His coming? Notice, He says, they're walking after their own lust. And they said, for since the fathers fell asleep, our dads have died. The giants of old have died. They're all still in the grave. They're all asleep. And you're telling us that there should come a time when there will be the last days. And these last days, this is the reaction that you'll see. And now I want you to notice very carefully. He says, for the since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly. Oh boy, that's an interesting word. Here is what he's saying, Peter is saying. They deliberately They willfully, this is how they want to look at things. And he said, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In these last days, there'll be men that'll be mocking. They'll be scoffing. Where is this coming? Be assured of this. There were those that made that same resolution. Those that made that same remark during the days of Noah. What happened to them? God is telling us, I love you. I want you to be saved. I don't want anyone to perish. But the last days, in the last days, here's the condition that you're going to find people. Look in verse 8. He answers it. Verse 7. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly. But beloved, I don't want you to be ignorant how God, through Peter, just expresses love for us. His love for mankind. And you can just hear him as Peter writes and he says, God doesn't want you to be ignorant of this. Don't you know that with the Lord as 1,000 years, a day is as 1,000, and 1,000 years is one day. He doesn't calculate time. And you're saying all the fathers are asleep, and this has been prophesied, it never has come to pass. Be assured that it is. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. I love that. There's not a single one in this building that wants a single individual to die and go to hell. There's not a single individual that is already dead that would desire that we be lost. And there's not a single one in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who doesn't want you to be saved and enjoy heaven forevermore. He says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slack, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But, now look at it. Here's something to get attention. My attention, your attention, everybody's attention. But, he says, the day of the Lord will come. There are those that have scoffed. Where is His coming? All things remain like it's always been. But, listen carefully. But, the day of the Lord will come, and it'll come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, now the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Somebody says, quit preaching hard sermons. Quit telling us about things that's going to come. We're interested in the now. We want to know now what will make us happy now. Hold on. Isn't that exactly what Peter's talking about? Peter said, I want you to know. I want to assure you of it. There's no doubt about it. He's coming back. He is coming back. And when He comes back, you look up into the heavens, you see the sun arise in the morning, you see the sun set at night, you see the moon and the stars and all the beauty of the heavens above, which God wants you to admire, to be thankful for. But God says, there's an end to it all. What does He say? Look at it. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Somebody says, God, I love you, but show it. You can say all day long, I love God. Show it. Prove it. Demonstrate it. It's not enough to call Him God. It's not enough to say, I love Him. When Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Seeing then, you know it's going to happen. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, how are you going to live now? What manner of persons are you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What do they say? Where is the promise of His coming? Since the early fathers have died, all things remain the same. Why? Well, they're walking after their own lust. They're walking after the dictates of their own hearts. They're saying, I can do what I want to do now. But then Jeremiah 10:23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. What does Peter call these people? Ignorant. One of Charlie Christopher's favorite passages is Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're ignorant, but they're ignorant willingly. Remember the flood? They all perished. The Word of God is the same today. Peter answers it, that 1,000 years is as a day with God. No wonder then, it will happen at the end of the last days. Now, 5 things here that are spoken of. Let's look at them real briefly. Men shall be lovers themselves. You know what that means? They love themselves. They're selfish. The Bible tells us very clearly in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus said, if you don't do it, you're not worth anything. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. Men should be lovers of money. Oh, how they want it. And yet Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust are corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Here was a man in Matthew chapter 19, a young man who had so much. He had a wealth and he wanted to follow Jesus, but he loved his money more than he loved the Lord. Men shall not be lovers of good. In Galatians, we've been studying that in our class in the back. In Galatians 5:22-23, we have there the example of the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, so many don't want that. Men should be lovers of pleasure. Let me have a good time right now. I only live young. I'm only young once. I'm only middle-aged once. I'm only old once. Let me enjoy my life right now. And yet, be not confirmed to this world. But be transferred, be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. But there are some that love God, and there's not anything in the world that they wouldn't do for the Lord. They're so dedicated, you call them lovers of God. In Matthew 7:13-14, their numbers few. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there is that will go therein, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find. Do you believe in the last day? I do. You know why I believe it? I believe it's what He's telling us. And I'll tell you why. At the end of it, I truly believe what God says is going to happen, don't you? Lovers of self, selfishness. Lovers of money. Ananias and Sapphira. Not lovers of good. Don't have the fruits of the Spirit. Lovers of pleasures. I got to have my good time right now. And yet, few. Or like Paul said about Timothy, I have no man like him who's willing to do everything in the service of the Lord. Philippians 2, 19 through 23. These are the last days. Now let me ask you some questions. In politics, who can you believe? In society, cursing, taking the name of God in vain. In families, divisions, hurting each other. Just waiting for mom and daddy to die and leave the inheritance and fighting over the inheritance because they want the material gain. Working? Many won't work. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. In churches, no regard for what God really wants the church to do. No regard for what God wants. In churches today, you see all kinds of things that are preached and taught that you don't find in the Scriptures. Yes, in personal living. Just read on the computer where a 16-year-old boy killed his mom and dad. I think he was a sports person. 16-year-old person. Why? We're living in the last days. We can see what has happened. Where do we fit in, though, in all of this? Where does O'Neill fit in all of this? Where do you, as a member of the church at O'Neill, fit in all of this? You've got to be guided by the Word of God. John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, but you have got to know it. You've got to understand it. And you've got to speak the truth. And speak the truth in love. Have you ever said something that you didn't mean to say? Heard the story where this fellow who had a real long nose was coming to visit with them. And they had a little boy, probably younger than my grandson, great-grandson. And this little boy usually would say something, and so the mother was telling the little boy, now, hon, this man that's coming in, he's got a long nose and he's very sensitive about that. Don't say anything about his nose. And the doorbell rang. She went to the door right before she went to the door. She said, hon, don't say nothing about his nose. She opened up the door and she said, come in, Mr. Nose. It was on her mind. Out it comes. Boy, wouldn't that be embarrassing. You ever said anything, though, that just came out, you wished you hadn't said it? Friend, let me tell you something. In the last days, we got to tell the truth, no matter who it hurts. If I'm guilty, put it on me. Don't we want to know the truth about ourselves? Don't we want to do as James tells us, to look at ourselves, examine ourselves? And Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? God's made promises. I believe those promises. We have the promises that God has made to us. So few people believe those. God, at sundry times in divers manners, has spoken. He's given us the promises. Do we believe them? We have the judgment of God that's out before us. And yet today, there are some that are living as if they're going to live forever in this old life. In the last days, men shall be. In the last days. What kind of man? What kind of woman? What kind of boy? What kind of girl are you going to be? Yes, Paul makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil, it shall be there for us in the judgment. We ask, where is His coming? We ask, when will Jesus be coming? Then we ask, who will be ready? How do we know it's the last days? we answer. God said it. God, who at sundry times and divers manners, spake in times past, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Fantastic reading from God's precious Word. We know He's coming again, but we don't know when. We know time is limited to all of us. I love that song that Hollis led this morning. I'll fly away. I love that. Psalms 90, verse 10. If 80 or if by reason of strength you have 80 years to live, it still remains the same. Then we fly away. We're all going to leave the earth. But where will we go? Who will be with you in that flight? For the Christian, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not move. Psalms 23, verse 3. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Sound it forth. Make it clear. Preach. Preach God's precious truth. In the last days, God has declared that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can't believe in about 8 or 9 days, my granddaughter Sarah Ann is off to the University of Alabama. First year, her mother Tabitha, her daddy Mark, her grandma Ann, and people, yeah. We're trying to put everything together to get everything good, ready for it. To go down to school. I can't believe that she'll soon be out of the close proximities that we've had for 18 years. You could just ask her to do almost anything. She was so willing, so good. I read to you this some years ago, and I found it as I was preparing this lesson for this morning. It's about a child growing up and about the child leaving home. It's called The Empty Nest. One of these days you'll shout, "Why don't you kids grow up and act your age?" And they will. Or, "You guys get outside and find something yourselves, something to do. Don't slam the door." And they won't. "You'll straighten up the boys' bedroom neat and tidy. Bumper stickers discarded. Spread tucked in and smooth. Toys displayed on the shelves. Hangers in the closets. Animals caged." And you'll say out loud, "Now, I want to stay that way." And it will. "You'll prepare a perfect dinner with a salad that hasn't been picked to death, and a cake with no finger traces in the icing, and you'll say, 'Now, there's a meal for company,' and you'll sit down and eat it all by yourself. You'll say, 'I want complete privacy on the phone, no dancing around, no pantomiming, no demolition crews. Silence, do you hear? Silence.' And you'll have it. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti. No more bedspreads to protect the sofa from damp bottoms. No more gates to stumble over at the top of the basement steps. No more clothespins under the sofa. No more playpens to arrange the room around. No more anxious nights under a vaporizer tent. No more sand on the sheets or Popeye movies in the bathrooms. No more iron-on patches, wet, not as shoestrings, tight boots or rubber bands for ponytails. Can you imagine having a lipstick with the point on it? No babysitter for New Year's Eve, washing only once a week. Seeing a steak that isn't ground. Having your teeth cleaned without a baby on your lap. Guess what? No more PTA meetings. No more carpools. No blaring radios. No one washing their hair at 11 o'clock at night, having your own roll of tape. Think about it. No more sloppy oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairy. No giggles in the dark. No knees to heal. No responsibility whatsoever. My daughter, our daughter, Tabitha, is saying all these things now that her little baby has grown up. She's going to leave home, go to school. There'll only be a voice crying, "Why don't you kids grow up?" And the silence echoing. I did. And they're gone on their own. Friend, think about this. We're going to leave this earth. The last days, we're living in them. Friends, will you remember? Remember what God said? I didn't make that up. When I prepared this sermon, as I searched and put it together, I did it for me, for you, to really believe what God said that's going to happen. I ask you in conclusion, what will happen to you? If you have never heard the word, you're not having any faith. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You've heard the word, but you don't believe it. Jesus said, unless you believe in Him, hey, you shall die in your sin. You're told to repent, you never have. People on the day of Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. You're told to confess Jesus as Lord, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Yet, you have never stood up and said that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I ask you, He's not going to confess you. If you don't confess Him. You've been told to be baptized, given examples of many who have been baptized, but you've rejected being baptized. You've put off doing what you can do, and you die in that condition. The end? Answer me. Do you believe what this book says? No faith. No belief, no repentance, no confession, no baptism, no Lord, not in the church, outside with all the condemned. And my friend, where will you be in eternity? Erring Christian, save but fall from the grace of God. Galatians 5, verse 4. Started out right, and yet you turned away. You have no hope. And you're in a worse condition as you stand before God in the judgment than you were before ever you became a Christian. No wonder God says that it's worse off for you in the judgment than those who have never obeyed the gospel. Why? You put the blood of the covenant as a whole unholy thing. You're like a pig washed again, going to wallowing in the mire, or to a dog. Can you imagine that turning to his own vomit again in God's sight? Judgment and eternity separated from God, from His people, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But you will perish if you don't listen to God. Are you listening? These are the last days. I'm here to tell you there's no other plan. There are no other Christ. There's no other time. It's now or never. If you die today, what is the verdict that you will have before God? You'll hear for eternity, though separated from God, God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's up to us. Do we believe what God says in the last days? If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, I beg you this morning to consider your soul. Get right with God. If you've never been baptized, here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? If you're an erring child of God, correct your life. Make it right. Because there's no other plan. This is God's way of telling us what we need to do to be ready. Oh, prepare now. And we're singing this song to encourage you. Won't you come while together we stand in